This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, like after that swing, I told whoever was standing next to me, I was like, this is your leadoff hitter, at least for the next 5 years. You know, I mean, left or right-handed, I don't think this kid goes anywhere else, in the lineup. You know, I think he's probably staying there, barring something unforeseen. He's getting to the point where it's getting more neutral. You know, I was looking at his splits today, his left-handed splits today, and they're not bad. You know, they're definitely going up. He's 21 years old. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. The All-Star thing's important to the players. It's important to the fans. It's important to us. You know, when I look at Jackson, I'm not concerned about the All-Star thing right now. It's like, how do we get this kid to be one of the top five players in the game by 2027? That's how I look at Jackson.
So that's Tony Manziel. Now, I will say this. There's a better chance of Jackson Holiday being the leadoff hitter for the next 5 years than it is Tony Manziel being the manager for the next 5 years. But that being said, Jackson Holiday, it's been a bit of a struggle for him for a while. He did walk three times yesterday. Mm-hmm. But the numbers have not been good of late.
I don't understand the sort of fetish of pigeonholing him in as in the middle of this lost season, while we're just starting to try to figure some more things out about kids, why he now has to live up to that was thrust on him by a guy who nobody else in Major League Baseball would let manage their team ever. And a guy who won't be here next year in any capacity, whether Elias stays or goes. Why do we need him to burden a potential young breakthrough player with that crap? It just doesn't make sense. And what really doesn't make sense to me would be not like backing off Jackson Holiday a little bit now, not giving Jackson Holiday a little more space to breathe, dropping him down the lineup, and giving him some time off, because the quality of his play and the diminished returns are telling you that, yeah, this is the youngest kid in the majors who's hitting the wall a little bit, who has hit the wall, and he already has 469 plate appearances. He's never had more than 585 in a season. And again, we've still got almost 2 months to go here. Since July the 1st, he has just 7 extra base hits. He has been caught stealing as many as he's stolen bases, too. He has a 630 OPS, okay, since July the 1st. He's getting on base 28.5% of the time. That's not good anywhere, but as your leadoff guy, it's really kind of asinine. As a leadoff guy this year, he has 80 strikeouts to 19 walks. He has a 293 on base as a leadoff guy and a 676 OPS. As a leadoff guy, it's not necessarily bringing out the best in him. I don't understand why this has to just be the way we do things. An OPS plus of 81 as a leadoff guy, that's 20% worse than the league average.
You want to hear a crazy stat?
It's really silly to me.
So they've played 9 games in August so far, and with the 3 walks yesterday, he has 5 walks for the month of August. You want to care to guess how many walks he had in the month of July?
Four
in a whole month. That's crazy.
That's just the biggest issue for me.
He also struck out 30 times.
Oh, yeah.
You need to get on base more than 29% of the time as a leadoff guy. And backing off on him, it's not the end of the world. I mean, if he got some things going and maybe you bump him back up to the leadoff spot, but these type of ebbs and flows happen with players at his age. It's not all going to be a smooth ride. It's not all going to be perfect, and that's fine. He's shown some bright spots this year, some things that you can really dream on. All of us, when we're doing the exercise a couple of weeks ago, he is part of their core. He is part of a legit young core. But right now, I think, like you said, Jason, he's hit a bit of a wall. You look at his numbers since the All-Star break. He's got a slugging percentage less than 300. OPS of 580 on base.
What you can't have happen is keep forcing this. This team's going to lose a lot of games against good teams. And if his individual performance dips as well, then you really kind of run the risk of obscuring the gains you made in the first half and almost having him go into the offseason again with more self-doubt. And he doesn't need to be their leadoff hitter the next 5 years. He needs to get through this season in a positive manner. He needs to get back to the form he was in a few months ago, and giving him a couple of days off here or there and batting him 7th, 8th, 9th, and having him try to get on base there makes to me a whole hell of a lot more sense than just trying to fool people. We're not stupid baseball people here, even though this front office takes us for fools. And trying to just cram the fact that, oh, he's a thing, he's a thing, he's a thing. Oh, look, Jackson Holliday's leading off. Well, what is that doing for Jackson Holliday? What is that doing for your baseball product? And look, told you guys before the season started, if things go well, offensively, he'll be Adam Frazier. He'll give them what Adam Frazier gave them a few years ago. And people are like, you're crazy, you're nuts, whatever. Well, Adam Frazier had 455 plate appearances, had a 696 OPS with 13 home runs and 60 RBIs. Jackson Holliday in 469 plate appearances has a 694 OPS with 14 home runs and 44 RBIs. Frazier had 11 steals. Care to guess how many Jackson Holliday has?
11.
I mean, that's the comp, baby. Now, it only took Frazier 15 attempts. Jackson's taken 20 to get those 11. He's got almost as many caught steals as stolen bases. Like, Jackson struck out 110 times to 28 walks. Like, and that's going to happen with a young player. But giving him 6 plate appearances at a game in a failing lineup on a failing baseball team managed by a skipper who I wouldn't let drive the bus for my double-A team. None of that is going to necessarily be in his best interest. And some things need to be catered more to them as human beings, not as baseball cyborg amalgamations of numbers, right? He's a human being. He's not a construct of algorithms and numbers spit out on a sheet. Like, you need to back off him some. You need to give him a little bit more space. I don't know why all of this is so difficult for them, but it is.
What did you think, and this is slightly off, but when we had Andy Kosko on earlier, he liked the idea of moving him to center field.
I've thought about it. They don't have any outfielders coming. He doesn't have an arm. You could tell me Cedric Mullins didn't have an arm. Yeah. I don't think this kid has the spatial awareness of Cedric Mullins. Cedric Mullins has been playing outfield his whole life. I don't think he's going to prevent runs by scaling walls like Cedric Mullins does. Look, that doesn't mean you might not be able to get... If he was even an adequate center fielder, that obviously is infinite more value than being a barely adequate second baseman. Yeah. But I go back to, isn't that what the minor leagues are for?
Not for them. Well, Kobe Mayo didn't start playing first base till he got here.
And how much is he even going to play first base now that Mountain's back?
He should play most of it.
Mansolino said
it's going to be his.
Said it's him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what he said.
He did say
that.
Who
was there yesterday?
Well, you could give him a day.
Oh, okay.
That's just one game.
He got plenty of days. He barely played in July. Yeah. I got news for you. Kobe Mayo is not Jackson Holliday. Kobe Mayo is not pushing 500 plate appearances in the major leagues for the first time and needs to be backed off.
No, I hear you.
Kobe Mayo needs a jolt of confidence. And you know what? If you said that, Skipper, you had it. Are they playing baseball today?
They're not.
No.
You let him play. All right, you let him play on Sunday. If you're going to come out and say that over the weekend,
it's a day game.
Then
after
back it up.
Yeah.
Back it up.
I'm with Bone on that. What if he's plays
a day game after a night game at first base, bro? You don't have an 18 man bench. You don't get to swap it out. This isn't Volo, Holmes. You know, like, there's not somebody on the bench who could just come in and do what you do.
I'm with Bone. I like the way you're thinking on that one. But Manzolino did say, he's
going to
get the lion's share of the first base.
And since what, July 25th. He's been playing every day. So
Mountcastle just came back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he did. I think we already know what we got from Ryan Mountcastle. He did homer.
There's enough experimenting going on. Jackson Holliday in center field, I think it's a little late in the game to try that now. But Jackson Holliday, leadoff hitter for the next 5 years, back off that poppycock and give this kid a little bit more time to watch. And let's try to have him finish September strong.
We're going to talk Ravens with Cordell Woodland at 5:30. But coming up next, Ravens, their special team stunk a year ago. Through one preseason game, things look a lot better. Are we buying the Ravens special teams? We'll tell you next year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm a fan.
I thought Tyler did a nice job. You know, he stubbed his toe on the ground a little bit in that one and just kind of made the ball move a little bit left. Perfect other than that. But to see him bounce back on the next kick, especially after getting kind of pushed back into the longer field goal, I thought was really a big step up for him. Obviously, what LeJounte did was awesome. And just to be aggressive, the first punt was a short punt, a tough catch. You know, he ran up there and made it, then he gets yards. And every time he had guys buzzing around him, I thought the blocking was good too. But he made guys miss and got big yards, got touchdown, obviously. He's massive. And then Anthony went in there and did a really good job too. Had the pooch punts, backed up punts that were kind of moving out there. And he fielded those, which are not easy catches. So it was good to see both those guys do well.
John Harbaugh, after the game Thursday night, a Ravens 24-16 win over the Indianapolis Colts. And last year, special teams, which is something the Ravens have prided themselves on, especially under John Harbaugh, they were frankly awful a year ago. And Thursday night against the Colts, punt returns look great, kick returns look great, coverage looked great, Tyler Loop.
Yep.
Like, it seemed like high marks all the way around.
Hopefully they've turned the page, and hopefully this will be indicative of what's to come. I'm not going to go crazy over one performance in the preseason, but it's certainly better to start on a high note than to have a continuation of the penalties, the brain cramps, the blown assignments that were far too common across special teams last year, and that didn't have anything to do with Tucker or Stout or return guys who couldn't catch the ball, although those things certainly exacerbated it. If you were going to script it for Big Looper, I would say, yeah, miss the shorter one first. Come back, hit the longer one. End on a high note. Show that you're resilient. He certainly pulled that first one. Probably did have something to do with his plant foot. You could see on the big screen in the stadium that the mechanics were a little off and that thing was coming across his body. And he's not going to be perfect. He's just not. And so him coming back and hitting one from 50 for me is a big deal. The return stuff, I kind of thought the first return was even in many ways more special than the house call, because it was even more confined. There was some miscommunication between him and some of his blockers. I don't think people are used to having somebody that dynamic back there, and he's able to create for himself, and they're going to have to learn to feed off him and see things the way he sees it. But he was in a phone booth, and then boom, he wasn't. And if you'd have told me that with the way that thing started and where he fielded the ball, that he was going to advance at 15 yards or whatever, I'd have said no bleeping way. And then to see him be a part of the offense and make some catches as well, like all that's great. Special teams was an area we talked a lot about heading into that game. It's an area that has to get better as individuals and a collective. And they've got a nice launching off point now for this next fake game and the fake game after that. And then hopefully much better performance by these units overall in the regular season.
Yeah, the Ravens have been really focusing this entire offseason on turnovers, because that changes the game. But special teams can absolutely change games. The Ravens didn't have a single special teams touchdown all year long. And Wester got one in his second touch as a punt returner. I know the game didn't count, but it just shows you. And that was someone that had a lot of success at the collegiate level. You hope that it would turn over to the pros, of course. But having that type of upside and not losing field position by guys just not catching the punts, I think... You hope that it's a sign of things to come. You expect the special teams as a whole to be a lot better than they were last year, and it's just one preseason game, but it was a step in the right direction.
Let's realize, and we laughed about this last year, they had Deonte Hardy, Steven Sims, Desmond King, and Tylan Wallace returning punts. And at one point, somebody talked about this abundance of riches they had, but they stunk. They were bad. Tylan Wallace helped cost them a football game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, this is one game. It doesn't count, but Wester looked a hell of a lot more competent Thursday night than any of those dudes looked a year ago.
No, he looked prepared, and he looked energized, and he was dynamic, and he was explosive, and he was unpredictable. The primary takeaway for me was what they did in totality on special teams. We've talked a lot about Mike Green on the show today, and for good reason, and that was another huge takeaway. Keaton Mitchell looked all the way back. Can Keaton Mitchell stay all the way back, though? Because obviously you're always wondering, anytime he's playing football to any degree, what's he going to look like 24 and 48 hours later? And that's got to be a bit of a concern now, as he's missed some time on the other side of that. So hopefully it less is more, what have you. Because what he can provide on special teams as well from week one could be a big deal in kickoff returns. The state of the passing game, obviously the backups, we're going to see. I thought Rush would struggle. He did. I think he'll get better each week, and I think he'll he'll be up for it against the Cowboys. The depth of the offensive line is going to be tested here. We'll see if some things emerge. That's certainly an area to keep an eye on. But them having even respectable special teams to go with what we know they have on offense and what we think they have on defense – that kind of balance could certainly propel them further than last year.
Ravens back on the field today for training camp. They're getting ready to take on the Cowboys on Friday. Cordell Woodland covers the Ravens and the O's for us here at 105.7 The Fan. What's he seeing out of camp? He'll tell us next. Ravens getting ready for week two of the preseason in Dallas on Friday. Cordell Woodland covers the Ravens and the O's for us here at 105.7 The Fan and joins us now courtesy of the Window Nation fan guest hotline. And Cordell, we were just talking about how much we were impressed with the special teams Thursday night against the Indianapolis Colts. I would assume you'd echo those thoughts about the special teams.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, you have to be. Punt return for them last year was just such a black hole. I mean, even just finding a consistent returner, they couldn't even do that, let alone find somebody that could just field the punt. But Wester was drafted for that to be kind of his immediate role, at least right now in his rookie year. And I think what was so good about what was that, Saturday night, I guess it was, whatever night that was.
Thursday.
It's all Thursday. Yeah. Thursday. leading into that, I thought his three practices before that, he really started to feel the punts more and more cleanly on a consistent basis. And then you combine, all right, him fielding the punts to him actually getting to the point to where he's returning them in the game the way that he did. I like the build-up process because I did notice a couple of times early in camp where he was struggling to catch punts. He had a couple of days where multiple punts had hit the ground. But leading into the game, that had kind of went away, and to see him go into the game and end up having the return that he did, that was really good to see. I think Luke, in a weird – I mean, obviously you don't want to see him miss a kick, but in a weird way, it kind of gained stock for me to see him bounce back and then come back and hit with a 51, 52-yarder after that. I mean, that's kind of what you want to see. Have a short memory as a young kicker, be able to go back out there and put it through the uprights. I don't think you could ask for much more. Even Rasheen Ali was good in the return game as well. The punts weren't the best that night going back and rewatching it, but that's something as well that I think they're going to have their eye on all year. This is a pivotal year for Jordan Stout. That was probably the low light of the special teams, but other than that, special teams had a good night.
Last year was the first year of the dynamic kickoff. They moved the kick, the touchback spot from the 25 to the 30. Now the touchback's at the 35, Cordell. Are you expecting a lot more kickoff returns this year because of that?
I think so. I mean, and they seem to be expecting that as well. I mean, nobody wants to give an offense an opportunity to start at the 35-yard line if they don't have to. So it's weird because – I thought at one point the NFL was trying to eliminate the kickoff game because they thought it was a dangerous play. And now they're trying to find a way to bring it back in a weird way. They just can never make up their minds. But I do think you'll get more returns and probably you'll see some big ones break as well because you'll see a lot of these kickers trying to keep it out of the end zone. They'll allow them to field it inside the 10. And guys, especially these running backs that are used to working in these tight spaces, they'll find that crease. So I'm expecting to see more big returns this year. I grew up loving Brian Mitchell. He was one of the first players that I can recall me being a true fan of, and that's where he made his money in the return game. So I've always loved that aspect of special teams. So I'm glad to see it still sticking around.
Cordell, obviously on the offensive side of the ball, any concerns coming out of a preseason game would be with the depth because we know the real dudes by and large aren't playing. But and I thought Cooper Rush would struggle some first time someplace other than Dallas. Leary, though, boy, that looks pretty rough. The offensive line, I think in pass pro, leaves something to be desired. And some of those dudes are probably going to be starting. And we all love what we saw from Keaton Mitchell, and that was awesome. But you're always worried about the other shoe dropping with him, and then he misses practice on the other side of that game. Just any takeaways for you from the offensive side in terms of depth?
Well, they lack depth along the offensive line for sure. They don't have the stable of bodies in that offensive line group that they're used to having. I mean, I can maybe get to six or seven guys that they may feel comfortable playing. How much do they really want to play guys 6 and 7? Probably not. Whereas if you talk about Makari in the past being that number 6 guy, you know, you don't have to twist their arm very long to get him on the field. But you talk about getting Cleveland out there. You talk about getting Noteboom out there. Yeah, they may be a little hesitant, but that's kind of that's where they're at right now in terms of the offensive line. Everywhere else, I mean, backup quarterback it just is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Cooper Rush has looked the way that he's looked to this point out here. And like you, you know, I understand it's a different scenery. I would imagine the Ravens run a totally different scheme from what the Cowboys run. I mean, they're out there just airing it out 100 times a game. Obviously, here in Baltimore, it's more balance, more play action, more mobility out of the pocket with the quarterback. That's not necessarily Cooper Rush's thing. He likes to drop back and throw the ball 50 times and see what happens. And it helps when you're throwing to a top 3 to 5 receiver, in my opinion, in CeeDee Lamb. And the Ravens have a great receiving core, but they don't have a guy that you're putting in that category. right now that you can just force feed the ball to 20 times a game. So, yeah, it is it's an adjustment for him. But a part of me still thinks, and I'm being honest, like as bad as he's looked in practice and even in the preseason game, I still think if, God forbid, something were to happen to Lamar, if he went out there with the starters, with Derrick Henry, with Zay and all those guys, he would be functional in that game. I've just seen it too many times in a regular season game to think that all of a sudden this dude can't throw the ball to anybody anymore. So I think he'll be serviceable if they need him. Devin Leary, on the other hand, I mean, what can we say? Oof. I mean, Harbs was stumped for words. What can you say? We've seen it. We've seen it in the game. We've seen it in the practice. I mean, the guy just is what he is. He's just not very good.
I'm talking with Cordell Woodland. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Cordell, let's finish with this. David Ajabo talked today. He says he's feeling more like himself. The fact that he's talking, we were talking with Jonah Schaefer earlier, he thinks that that says to him that that his roster spot might be more secure than we might think. What do you think of Ajabo so far in camp?
He's been solid. I think Harv said today, though, which is key, like it's about the games for Ajabo. I don't think Ajabo is going to make this team based off what he does in practice. He's going to make this team if he shows that he can get after the quarterback in these preseason games, if he shows he can beat some of these backups that he's lined up against. I think Ajabo's future can go one of multiple ways. One, he could make this roster. He could end up having a really good camp mixed with a really good preseason, and maybe they don't go and get the veteran pass rusher that we're used to seeing them get on the back end of camp. Maybe they feel like David Ajabo on the back end, and he and Isaac on the back end of this edge rush room, that's enough. Also, I still wouldn't put it past them that if Ajabo could make the team, he could also have a really good preseason to the point to where somebody else may want him. And it's not as simple as, oh, well, you're either going to cut him or trade him. I think it's more, well, he ends up cracking the back end of the 53-man or he gets traded. I could see either of those scenarios happening right now. So I think that's the one that they'd like to probably have. Because even if Ajabo makes this team, I'm not going to sit here and say that I think he's going to be a regular contributor. He could still be inactive most weeks. I wouldn't be shocked if that's the case. But I think they would love it if he was able to boost some sort of trade value for himself, look good enough to the point to where teams just can't say, well, we'll wait for you to cut him, because they're not going to cut him. He's going to make this roster, but I'll give him to you for whatever it is they feel like they want for him. I think that's the road that they would like to take with him.
Cordell, when are you and Beltway Ben back?
We'll be back Thursday night, so we'll see what's going on there. Obviously, Ravens preparing to go to Dallas later on this week to take on the Cowboys in their second preseason game, and the Orioles keep trotting out God knows what in the outfield and doing God knows what on the field. So I'm sure we'll throw some tomatoes at them.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Hey, we'll come back at the text today, preview tomorrow's show, and Jason will remember a true man's best friend. That's next here on The Fan. I think people that listen to the show know that we're all dog lovers. We all have dogs. And with that, Jason, I'll give you the floor.
Yeah, I apologize for missing Friday's show. We had to send our little buddy Copper off to a better place. We had 10 great years with him. I can't tell you guys how enriching it is to adopt dogs, to rescue dogs, and have them be a part of your family, and to watch your kids grow up around these dogs. It is a truly special blessing. The other night, he decided he wanted to test himself and jump from the couch to the ottoman. I could not believe he did it. He did not make it. And part of me thinks he kind of tried that because he hadn't been doing well, and he probably was hurting a lot more than we knew. And unfortunately, this tumble really messed up his nervous system and messed up his cognitive skills, and he couldn't really stand up. The tail stopped wagging. He stopped eating. And really, we brought him to the vet on Friday thinking that it might be time to help him move on, and that in fact it was. But man, I got to tell you, it really is amazing what they can bring to your life, the appreciation you have for things when you build these relationships with these creatures. It made me have an even deeper respect for animals across the board. Helped, honestly, in some ways inspire me to stop drinking. This little guy in a lot of ways inspired me to change my diet, to stop eating animals, to really kind of pause and think about all these smaller things that just because they're smaller or just because they're different doesn't mean they're that insignificant or frankly that they're insignificant at all. And Copper was definitely my best friend. It's an empty feeling not having him around me or physically on me. The last couple of years, he couldn't get around that much. So he was pretty much an appendage. And I, at the time, I tried to look at that as a blessing, and I think I did. And I hope that he has made me better in some ways. I know he made my family better. I don't think we could get through it as we have without having Gigi, and Meatball with us. And again, I would just tell you, if you're not sure, give it a try. These animals are truly beautiful and the love that they give is unique. And, please try to spread some love to the human and animal community if you can.
Rest in peace, Choppy. You're a good one. Let's get the text today.
Check 1, 2. Check.
Text of the day.
Text of the day.
Text of the day.
Text of the day.
Okay.
Text of the day is sponsored by Oarsman Automotive. Driven by OarsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Oarsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OarsmanCars.com. Text of the day comes from DJ in Baltimore, who says, surprised to see Tavius Robinson not playing Thursday night. Guess that means we should expect a significant role from him this season.
Yeah, we talked about that a little earlier. I think they see him as a starter. It's pretty damn clear that the fact that he did not suit up for that game on Thursday night.
Yeah, he's in a good place.
Well, we talked a lot last week, Jason, about you can't put everybody in bubble wrap.
Nope.
There were guys out on that field last Thursday that are going to have big roles on this team, but for Tavius Robinson to reach that stature.
And I'm with Cordell here. I think they're showcasing Ajabo for,
it's interesting,
for trade or whatever, whether it's now or right before roster cutdowns or in season. He's going to get a lot of run, and when he's playing that much and Mike Green's playing that much, a lot of your depth edges are not playing.
Bone, what's on tomorrow's show?
New Maryland AD, Jim Smith, going to join the program. Oriole Hall of Famer, Mike Bordick, Cynthia Freeland, IA Hall of Famer.
Yes.
And Brian Wacker, covers the Ravens for the Sun.
Busy show. Short show, too, because we're done at 5:30, correct, for Orioles?
Yes.
So that is it for us. Infinity Sports Radio coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow, too, here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.